Public Speaking Secrets, The Unfair Advantage for Sharing Your Message with Confidence to the World, by Victor Ahipeni. Chapter 1. On the Edge. If fear is cultivated, it will become stronger. If faith is cultivated, it will achieve mastery. John Paul Jones. If you do it, I'll do it. That's what three of my friends said to me in Queenstown, New Zealand, after my mum had offered to pay for me to bungee jump, knowing full well that I was afraid of heights. A list of pros and cons screamed into my head, convincing me first to do it, then not to do it, then to do it again, until I finally came to a decision. I was gonna do it. There's nothing like a 20-year-old's ego and three of his best mates applying friendly peer pressure to get you to jump off a perfectly good bridge with a raging river 50 meters below. Look up, pretend you're brave, and whatever you do, make sure your jump is good. Those were the encouraging words of the instructor after she found out we might buy the DVD recording. Do you want to get wet? I guess so, I responded hesitantly, not really sure if I wanted to get wet or not. Good, because you're over 100 kgs, so you don't have an option. Great, I was going to get wet whether I liked it or not. Had I really had an option at any stage in the process so far? I was first up. I felt like Eminem in 8 Mile. Palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. Though thankfully, so far, no vomit on my sweater, but it felt like it wasn't too far off. The feeling of intense nerves was overpowering. You see, I'm generally a pretty calm, collected guy. I try and live my life by a mantra my rugby coach gave to us. Ain't no use worrying about things under your control, because if they are under control, ain't no use worrying. Mickey Rivers. Sitting on the ledge, watching the person before me get the opposite of a hostage jumper talk down to get them to jump, I felt like it was impossible to live by this mantra. I ran a checklist in my head. Things that are in my control. Jumping off the bridge to then make everything outside of my control. Things outside of my control, everything else. This is where my amygdala, the area of my brain responsible for fear, kicked into overdrive and everything else in there switched off. My breath became rapid, I could feel my heart trying to beat out of my chest, a cold sweat had taken over my body and I had the shakes. This was not something I'd felt in a very long time. My brain took me back to the last time I had this sense of helplessness. Back to my first year of high school before stepping on to stage for my first ever speech. Was this the end for me? Was my life flashing before my eyes before I'd even jumped? Look up, look brave, jump high. I kept repeating this over and over to myself as I watched the teared up lady before me jump. You're up, mate. Just hold onto the bar and shuffle toward the end of the platform. I grabbed the bar and began to shuffle forward. Look up, look brave, jump high. Okay, mate, now let go of the bar and shuffle right to the edge. What? There was no mention of this 10 seconds ago. That pole was the difference between me standing and looking and me being exposed to falling off the ledge. It was one of the only things I had in my control that was making me feel some semblance of separation from the impending plummet into the river below. Slowly, I loosened my grip off the pole, one finger at a time. What felt like a big gust of wind hit me. I wanted to reach back to the pole behind me, but that would involve blindly reaching and throwing out my balance. 5, 4, 3. Where did that countdown come from? It got me even more flustered. 2, 1. Look up, look brave, jump high. I've jumped. I'm hurtling towards the river below, free falling for what feels like an eternity, but like a split second at the same time. I hit the water and recoiled back up 30 meters into the air. It feels like my body's all out of balance. I was flailing around like a salmon in a bear's mouth. Everything is now completely outside of my control. After the jump, when we compared the emotional roller coaster we all went on, I found it really interesting how similar the experience was. We all achieved the same result of completing a bungee jump, but the actual jump itself was so different. My jump was fairly stock standard. My friend Simon sprung in the air like a frog and dived straight down like an Olympic diver. And Mark ripped off his shirt and leapt backwards. Rory, however, bent his knees, all set for a huge jump, but at the bottom of his knees bending, and had second thoughts and tried to reach back to grab the pole. His center of gravity took him over the edge in a crouched over, twisted tangle. It fascinates me to think about all the similarities between bungee jumping and when I first spoke on stage. It was a Māori speech competition I had been somewhat forcefully entered to, as I was one of the few eligible from my school, as I had New Zealand Māori heritage. Being 13 at the time, it's fair to assume it was most of the speaker's first time in front of an audience, particularly one with a few hundred people in it. So with all of us feeling similar levels of fear and anxiety before our talks, why was it some of our talks looked like the equivalent of slick backyard bungee jumping, some like my run-of-the-mill jump, and others showed their fear like they were trying to reach back for that safety pole mid-jump? The answers most of you think is because they are more confident, have the gift of the gab, or were better prepared. This book is going to dispel all of those myths. I, for one, was a confident kid struck down with fear and had to read off cue cards. I've met and trained hundreds of confident adults who are horrible at presenting in front of groups and effectively sharing a message, not to mention the others who avoid speaking altogether. You see, my speech in that contest was very similar to my bungee jump. Nothing flash, far from memorable for anyone watching, and lots of corrections along the way trying to get back on course. Rather than look up, look brave, jump high, it was more along the lines of look up, between cue cards, look brave, stand up tall, jump high, read loudly. I put read loudly because with cue cards in my hand, that is literally what I was doing. Unsurprisingly, I didn't win that day. Thankfully though, I'm rather competitive. This competitive streak and youthful ignorance led me to ask a question. How can I improve? The last 18 years have been spent continually looking to refine the answer. To work towards not only mastery for myself, but simplicity to be able to teach this and transform others. We've all heard it. People would rather be dead than speak in public. 78% of people suffer from some form of speech anxiety, which must mean 4 out of 5 people reading this would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Look, I get it, I truly do. Even when I started to learn the craft of public speaking, I had that fear. I'm not even joking. When I was 14, my mum made me give a eulogy on behalf of our family at my great aunt's funeral. I went through a raft of emotions. Fear, embarrassment, sadness, and then the real worry that I wouldn't do the eulogy justice for someone so important to me. Throw in the fact that this was the first funeral I'd ever been to, and there were only 2 of us speaking, myself and a cousin. Here's the thing though, this just wasn't any cousin. He was a highly accomplished speaker who'd been knighted by the Queen. Thankfully, a funeral isn't a competition, but it's always nice if the bar isn't set too high to follow up with. He went first and gave an amazing speech in 2 languages. It's fair to say that did not help calm my nerves or center my raft of emotions. The thing was, at that stage, there was a lot I didn't understand. Important things like the physiology of what occurs in the brain to cause the fear I was experiencing. I hadn't identified a system to not only mitigate my fear, but produce a high quality talk every time. Yes, even a eulogy. I held back sobbing and managed to share a message from the heart that I know is appreciated by our family. Afterwards, just like the time a year before on stage at that speech competition, I knew that I could do better, that there must be an easier, more effective, and less nerve-wracking way. With any skill you're looking to improve, it's more important about finding out what you don't know as much as it is about knowing what you don't know. It was around this time I doubled down on my endeavor to become the speaker I knew I could. Tony Robbins often says, the fastest way to get from where you are to where you want to be is to find someone who is there and model them. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Thankfully for me, that teacher, Mrs. Donna Jones, appeared and helped change my thoughts and approach towards speaking. She helped instill a system and confidence that has been responsible for countless opportunities I've created and taken. If you have picked up this book, hopefully you're ready for a change. Let me be your teacher. My goal for this book is to help 2 types of people. For those who have never really given any type of public speaking a go, I'm going to give you a foolproof system to fast track you into being a confident, powerful speaker. And for the more experienced speakers, you'll get the strategic ways to control and influence a talk to give more value and achieve your speaking goals. We're going to cover three main secrets for becoming a confident public speaker. Secret number one is fear elimination. How to quickly and easily identify and eliminate all of the fear that has been holding you back from public speaking. Secret number two, talk creation. How to implement my proven public speaking blueprint and implement my 30% rule so that every speech, no matter the situation or preparation time, is amazing. Secret number three, exposure. How to create opportunities in your business, brand, or job with these three free techniques. This is exactly what I have done over time to build and leverage my credibility in different industries, get in front of more of my ideal prospects, and positively impact more people. I'm on a mission to make speaking more enjoyable to give, and more importantly, enjoyable to listen to, and for you to be able to share your message with a wider audience. What follows in this book will give you the tools and framework to do all of that and more. Chapter 1, quick summary, getting out of your comfort zone. The biggest transformation occurs when we push out of our comfort zone. The sensations we feel are very similar, no matter what the task, whether it be your first bungee jump or your first speech in public. Understand and accept that. In order to improve, we need to push out of our comfort zone. It will serve you well for the rest of this book. The three secrets of public speaking. The rest of this book is designed to give you an unfair advantage every time you speak by mastering these three secrets. Secret number one, fear elimination. How to quickly and easily identify and eliminate all the fear that has been holding you back from public speaking. Secret number two, talk creation. How to implement my proven public speaking blueprint and implement the 30% rule so that every speech, no matter what the situation or preparation time, is amazing. Secret number three, exposure. How to create opportunities in your business, brand, or job with these three free techniques. Be sure to join our free Speaker Nation Facebook group, including a growing library of templates and trainings. Visit www.facebook.com/groups/public speaking blueprint.